Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Justin Cheka, who's serving as our worship associate, Colleen Teeley, our religious education assistant, Hal Walker, our music director, and members of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent Choir. In honor of Valentine's Day, and especially in celebration of the Standing on the Side of Love campaign's 30 Days of Love, I light our chalice this morning in celebration of that love that warms our hearts, illumines our lives, and most especially reaches out to embrace us all.
Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, oh, the winter, soon be over, children, the winter. Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, soon be over, children, the winter. Oh, the winter. Oh, the winter soon be over, children. Oh, yes, my Lord. You set your feet on holy ground and ask the Lord for to turn you round. You set your feet on holy ground and ask the Lord for to turn you round. Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, oh, the winter soon be over. Oh, the winter, soon be over, children, the winter. Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, soon be over, children. Oh, yes, my Lord. Paul and Silas bound in chains, one did weep and the other did pray. Paul and Silas bound in chains, one did weep and the other did pray. Oh, the winter, soon be over, children, the winter. Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, soon be over, children, the winter. Oh, the winter, oh, the winter, soon be over, children, oh, yes, my Lord. You lift your eyes up to the sky and ask the Lord for the wings to fly.
If it is sung, then indeed it shall be. Harmony. I think it is safe to say that as conscious beings, we're all in search of that intangible element of harmony in our lives, a sort of balance that forms the perfect mesh of the ebbs and flows of life's river. However, it does not seem possible to live in a constant state of harmony, for the old axiom applies. We cannot appreciate X if we've never experienced why. But maybe if we recognize when we are disconnected or becoming disconnected, we can try to find ways to work ourselves back to that equilibrium. For example, it is blatantly clear to me that when I am experiencing a period of disharmony, I tend to injure myself more often than usual. It seems that my ebbs come with a loss of physical coordination with my surroundings, and my shins, toes, and head can attest to that. So when this happens, I seek to be more aware of the harmony that surrounds me, and I try to inject myself into its presence. I do this by looking to music, letting the sound waves ring together in melodious symphony and touch my soul. When I eat food, I try to let the blend of flavors ignite my taste buds and form a consensus. Most of all, I strive to reach an accord with nature. By using the deep freeze of winter, which has exhausted the moisture in the atmosphere, I have been granted an unobstructed view of the stars, where I look to find peace. So I ask you to look within yourselves and be open to the harmony that surrounds you, For as Marcus Aurelius once wrote, he who lives in harmony with himself lives in harmony with the universe.
The definition of harmony. 1. The combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions having a pleasing effect. 2. Agreement or concord, peace, cooperation, fellowship. So, I'm sure my neighbors would disagree, but at our house, we often achieve harmony during ear-piercing sessions of heavy metal rock band practice. When the pots and pans are clanging with the rhythmic genius of our son Silas, and I'm strumming away on a Disney princess guitar, while my 2-year-old Lola wails into her soup ladle microphone, life is good. During band practice, we have peace inside of our nest. And even though all the woodland creatures in a 5-mile radius can hear us, we are achieving that second definition of harmony, though maybe not the first. But like all families, we don't always jive. Like all families, we're not always on the same page. Some days, we have to work a little harder to find our harmony. Our kids, like all kids, are unique. But trust me when I say, I don't think they could be more different from each other if they tried. Actually, sometimes I think they are trying, you know, just to keep us on our toes. Anyway, promoting harmony and understanding between them can be really hard work. Work that I don't always know how to do. Our son needs to be alone for an extended period of time, usually at least once a day. This happens when he becomes uncomfortable in his own skin. He needs to find some quiet, a dark or solitary place to limit his sensory input. And usually he finds the closet to be this space. As you can imagine, his baby sister sees this as an act of treason against their relationship. And it's a reason for her to try to force him into her presence. It's because she wants to be with him. And instead of using words that are beyond her developmental ability to explain her frustration, she often turns to her most powerful communication tool in her toolbox to express her pain. Tears. The saddest ones. The real ones. When we first encountered this challenge to the harmony in our house, our plan was to gently remove her and try to distract her from her mission of sitting right next to, if not on top of, her brother when he needs his space. It worked once or twice, but it turns out, at even 2 years old, people do not like to be deceived. As she pushed back and became more angry, it occurred to me that my brilliant plan was actually deception. And as toddlers will do, she saw right through it. So our new genius plan involved explaining personal boundaries and sensory processing needs to a toddler. Oh, it's so easy. Yeah, no. It's not even close to easy. In fact, we're still working on it, and I suspect we'll be working on it for a good long time. It's important work, though, and I'm thinking we'll appreciate it just as much now as when the kids are in high school, right? So we've been working on it for a few months without any success. And then last week, a breakthrough. I hollered down the out of the kitchen that it was time for dinner. Come on, guys, it's time to eat. Racing down the hallway with an urgency and a finger to her lips, my little girl shushed me. Shh, Mama, my brother is peeing. Let's give him the space, okay? I went to check on him, and he told me the same. He needed some time. And with that, she and I ate dinner. No hard feelings, no sadness, only harmony. Later that night, I heard a familiar rustling and clanking coming from the utensil drawer. And as the kids emerged from the kitchen in their finest costumes, holding their microphones and drumsticks, a smile spread across my face because it was time for band practice.
Wisdom words this morning from the Tao Te Ching, which is one of the sacred texts of Taoism. There are many, many, many translations of the Tao Te Ching, and this one comes from Peter Merrill. Most often, the passages are just known by their numbers, but he's chosen to give this one a title. He calls it Harmony. It's number 10. Embracing the way you become embraced. Breathing gently, you become newborn. Clearing your mind, you become clear. Nurturing your children, you become impartial. Opening your heart, you become accepted. Accepting the world, you embrace the way. Bearing and nurturing, creating but not owning, giving without demanding. This is harmony. We'll keep silence for a few moments together. And I invite you to join with me now in a meditation that will be familiar to many of you. This is a Buddhist loving kindness meditation. So to prepare, if you're holding things, I encourage you to put them down so that you can rest your hands gently in your lap. Be comfortable as you can, and either close your eyes or soften your gaze and let your breath just flow easily. There are several stanzas to this meditation. I invite you to repeat the words of each silently after me and begin by focusing your attention on yourself and with tenderness for your own heart, your own life. Repeat the words of this meditation. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be whole. And now call into your mind and your heart someone you love, someone in your life who you care about, who you feel could benefit from loving kindness today, and say the meditation for that person. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. And now call into your mind someone you know but whom you don't know well. Maybe someone here at church or someone you see at the grocery store, a person who is neutral in your life. Call that person into your mind and say the meditation for that person. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. And now call into your mind and your heart someone with whom you have a challenging relationship, someone with whom you're experiencing conflict or some other kind of discord. And hold that person in your mind and in your heart and say the meditation for that person. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. Now I invite you to open your heart as much as you can, as widely as you can, and gather there loving thoughts for yourself, your family, your friends. Let the faces and the names pop up and gather together, the people in your neighborhood and your community, the people you work with. Open your heart to the people you see but don't know in your town, in this state, in this nation. Open your heart as widely as you can to all the beings of the world and say the meditation for all. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be whole.
Our reading comes from Johan Leve. Johan Leve was born in Estonia in the middle of the 19th century. His life was difficult, marked by poverty and mental illness. Since his death, he has become recognized as one of Estonia's greatest poets. His translators compare him to Robert Frost for the welcome quality of his poems. This is his poem, Music. It must be somewhere the original harmony, somewhere in great nature, hidden. It is in the furious infinite, in distant stars' orbits. Is it in the sun's scorn, in a tiny flower, in tree gossip, in heart music's mother's song, or in tears? It must be somewhere, immortality, somewhere the original harmony must be found. How else could it infuse the human soul, that music?
A long, long time ago in the kingdom of song, there lived a very hardworking but impatient farmer. Every day he went out to tend his fields, every day, no matter the weather, blistering sun, cold rain, fierce winds, every day he was out there. He chased the birds away, he picked the bugs off the plants, he was a dedicated farmer, raising the crops for himself and his family. But he was an impatient man. And one day, as he was standing there toward the end of his day, he noticed that one of the little sprouts in his row of crops had somehow dislodged from the soil and had fallen over into the irrigation ditch. So he went over and he picked up the sprout and he put it right on the top of the mound of dirt in his row there, and he put some clods of dirt on top of it, and he stood back and looked at it, and he noticed that that sprout that he had replanted stood taller than all of the rest of his sprouts. And it occurred to him that perhaps he should do that to all of his sprouts. So he, at the end of his day, though he was tired, went and picked up each sprout. He loosened it, loosened the roots from the soil, and he planted it on the top of the mound, and he sprinkled a little dirt on top of it. He went all the way down one row and all the way back up the other, and he was tired at the end of his labors. But he stood there looking, and he thought, I have discovered a secret to make the plants grow faster. So he went home, and he went in, and he told his family, Family, you are going to be so thrilled to know that my plants now stand taller than all of our neighbors. And he said to his son, Son, tomorrow you must come out and see what I have done. See the secret that I have discovered for making plants grow faster. And though he was hungry, he was more tired, and so he went straight to bed. Because he was so tired, he slept late the next morning. The sun had already arced up into the sky, and his son, dutiful as he was, went out to survey the fields. And when he got there, to his horror, he discovered that all of the beautiful sprouts had withered with their roots exposed to the blistering sun. This story comes from a very long time ago. I found it in a book called Harmony, A Treasury of Chinese Wisdom for Children and Parents by Sarah Conover and Chen Hui. The story dates all the way back to the 4th century before the Common Era, and it's attributed to Mencius, who was one of the most important students of Confucius. This story, like all the stories in their book, is well known today in China. In fact, the authors say that if you were to meet a person from China and tell them that you knew this story, you would immediately have a bridge to relationship because they would know this story too. The reason is because this story supports a Cheng Yu, which is a proverb. In China, there are thousands of Cheng Yu. Some people say that there are 5,000, some people say 15, some people say more. The point is that there are lots of Cheng Yu, lots of proverbs, short sayings, all following the same structure, usually about 4 characters spoken in the same order. And people use them frequently in everyday speech to impart little warnings to one another, little bits of wisdom. The Cheng Yu that goes with this story is, pulling up sprouts to help them grow. If a Chinese person were to say that you were doing that, that you were pulling up sprouts to help them grow, you might be able to kind of get their gist and have some ideas about what they meant, but you wouldn't really get the full meaning unless you knew the story that went with that Cheng Yu. I said that this is a Confucian story, but the authors point out that it has strong Taoist sensibility. That makes sense because Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism have all been extremely influential in the history and culture of China, and they have blended together. There's a syncretism between them, and so they influence one another. The centerpiece of Taoism is the Tao, which is translated usually as the way. The Tao refers to the process, the energy, the force that underlies everything, all life in the universe, our own lives, and everything else. It's that force that keeps the universe in balance. Earlier, I read a passage from the Tao Te Ching. This text contains practical wisdom about what it takes for a person to bring their lives into alignment with the Tao, to bring their lives into alignment with that way undergirding all existence. This is the pathway to harmony. The practice of following the Tao is called Wu Wei. That phrase is sometimes translated as non-action, but that really isn't right. A more accurate translation would be effortless action. The idea is that as we align our lives with the Tao or the way, we find ourselves more and more attuned to the way. The way flows freely, just like water flows freely and finds its natural course. Water flows freely over whatever is in its path without effort, but that doesn't mean that there is no action. For as we know, water can carve a course through the biggest, tallest, strongest mountain. That's what's meant by effortless action. When we're attuned to the way and practicing effortless action, our lives are in a state of harmony or balance. Harmony is a central concept in both Taoism and Confucianism. Above all else, prize harmony, Confucius said. The earliest references to harmony in Confucian texts date all the way back to the 8th century before the Common Era. Those references speak of musical harmony, and from that idea grew the idea that harmony could then be translated into many aspects of life. Embedded within the idea of harmony is multiplicity. Harmony can't exist with sameness. So musically speaking, if you have a single row of notes played one at a time, you have a melody. You can't have harmony unless there's more than one note played at a time. Harmony requires multiplicity. Harmony can only occur when you have difference. We say music is harmonious when different notes blend to create a sound that's pleasing to our ears. We might describe a painting as harmonious when the colors blend in a way that is pleasing to our aesthetic sensibilities. We find harmony in our food when flavors combine in our mouths to create something new and delicious. I'm particularly fond of the blending of chocolate and lavender, lime and mint, garlic and ginger. Harmony is about multiplicity. It's about difference and the pleasant union that creates when differences come together. And that's exactly why harmony is so elusive sometimes. Difference isn't always easy to harmonize. Take this church, for example. We are a group of people with diverse views, theologically, politically, socially, economically, and sometimes those differences rub up against one another in a way that creates discord rather than harmony. So next week, I'm going to talk about that experience of interpersonal efforts to find harmony, and especially what it takes to find harmony in a group of people, in a community. But today I want to stick with the self. What does it take to find harmony within ourselves? It's no easy task. We have our minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits to tend, and sometimes different facets of ourself have different needs. There are many things that we want to do with our lives, and choosing one path often means foregoing another. When we race through life trying to do and be everything all at once, the experience is often like pulling up sprouts to help them grow. I had that experience just this week. I sat down at the end of a long day here at church to eat a hastily prepared dinner by myself. And right before I was about to eat, I noticed the candle on the table. And then I remembered that I hadn't had an opportunity or hadn't taken the time to pray in several days. And so I thought, okay, now I'm going to take a moment to pray. And I lit the candle, and I had every intention of using that loving kindness meditation that we shared earlier in the service as a prayer. That's something that I like to do regularly, and I elaborate it when I do it myself and add other facets, other stanzas. Particularly, I like to add stanzas for people who I know are struggling, and I often stretch that one out and name a variety of people, often many of you, in my prayer. And so, as you experienced, it takes a little time to use that meditation. So that was my intention as I lit the candle. But I was so hungry, and my food was hot, and I was tired, and it was the end of the day, and I had this experience of trying to say all those stanzas at the same time, if you can imagine it. I was like racing through it, and at the same time, I was thinking about, oh man, there was that email I meant to send, I didn't send it, and when am I going to go grocery shopping? And I noticed out of the corner of my eye that my plants desperately needed water, all at the same time, pulling up sprouts to help them grow. My reality, as I suspect many of you also experience, is that there's too much to do too often. My reality is that I'm trying to balance a very full-time ministry with very full-time parenting, with trying to be a spouse, with trying to take care of my dogs, with trying to tend to the household chores and my other relationships. And I have been struggling to fit in time for exercise or spiritual practice. In the last few months, those have kind of fallen to the bottom of the list. Many of you, I know, experience this struggle from time to time, too. So, in our busy lives that are so full with so many competing demands, and our hearts that are so full with so many feelings and experiences of life, how do we find a way to harmony? The Tao invites us to practice bringing our lives in alignment with the way, to bring our lives in alignment with the essential unity that is always there, pervading everything, underlying all. The passages of the Tao Te Ching are filled with practical advice about how to do this, and we heard several suggestions earlier in our service. Breathe gently. Clear your mind. Open your heart. Accept the world. There are many passages offering practical guidance in the Tao. Some of those counsel releasing the quest to control, for ultimately life is not controllable. And other passages counsel attuning our lives to the force that flows through, while also being wary of those who say that they know just how to do that. Being wary of people who say that they've got it all figured out. A key component of attuning with the Tao is remembering humility. I think remembering humility and having compassion for the natural limits of our humanness are two key parts of what it takes to find and keep our balance. Sacred texts are an important teacher. The natural world is another. And in fact, within the text of the Tao, there are many references to looking to the natural world as a teacher. The earth has much to teach us about harmony if we're willing to listen. The lessons are often so clear when we're on vacation. When we're on vacation and we're standing there on the beach and there's the ocean, it's so easy to feel tuned in and connected to that harmony, the waves rippling across the water, the waves rippling through us. We feel it. It's easy on vacation. At the top of the mountain, and you look out across the vast expanse, and you feel a one with it all. Or maybe on vacation at night, and you don't have to get up early the next morning, and you're just looking at the beautiful stars spread across the sky, and you feel connected, at one, in harmony, the harmony of the universe flowing through you. It's easy on vacation, but we're not on vacation very much. Mostly, we're in our daily lives. We're at home. And the thing is that same harmony, that we can feel and tap into on vacation is always there. It's always there, pervading everything. I think that's what Johann Leeb was talking about in that poem that Justin read earlier. The original harmony is always there, and it must be somewhere. Maybe it's in the stars, or in the sun, or inside a tiny flower. The original harmony must be somewhere. How else could it infuse the human soul? If you know of what he speaks, the good news is that you don't have to be on vacation to experience it, to hear that sounding. The harmony of the natural world can speak to us any day, anytime we take the time to slow down, open up, and discipline ourselves to listen. Philip Newell is a theologian in the Celtic Christian tradition. Many, many years later, from a different part of the world and in a different theological key, he shares some of the same wisdom. He's written a book called A New Harmony: The Spirit, the Earth, and the Human Soul. He believes that the key to finding a greater harmony in and amongst ourselves lies in discovering again the ancient harmony at the heart of all, which he says binds us in unity. These are his words. In the 12th century, Hildegard of Bingen taught that the sound of God resonates in every creature. It's the holy sound, she says, which echoes through the whole creation. If we are to listen for the one from whom we have come, it's not away from creation that we must turn our ears. It is rather toward creation, toward the heart, the very center of all life. For there we will find the deepest sound within us is also the deepest sound within one another and within every being. We will hear the true harmony which tells us that we belong to the universe, and the true harmony which tells us that the universe belongs to us. That, says Hildegard, is why when we hear certain pieces of music, we can't help but breathe deeply and sigh. For at such moments, we're hearing the sound of our beginnings, and we are hearing that everything arises from that sacred sound. The world is rich with wisdom. So choose your inspiration. Take your inspiration from the East or the West. Take your inspiration from sacred scripture or from inspired teachers, or just take a walk by the river. There are so many ways to find yourself in harmony. It's always there, always waiting for us to slow down, reach out, and connect. So find a way to find yourself in harmony, right here, right now. Amen.
Speaking of harmony, as you will recall, in early January, there was a chemical spill in West Virginia, and that has affected more than 300,000 people just immediately in 9 counties in West Virginia. But if you stop and think, what if water was not available to you right now, today? What if all of a sudden you had no clean water? How would your life be different? Getting on websites and trying to find more information about West Virginia and what we could donate to, I found that there have been 3 spills in the last 5 years. So this is not something that is all of a sudden and everybody takes attention to it, draws attention to it. The minister at the UU Church in Charleston is very concerned that the worst of this spill is over and that nothing will really be done. So one of the things that the church there is doing that we are contributing to today in this special collection is both socio-political stand-ins and all sorts of actions to help make some of the laws that need to be put in place to protect the earth and all of our water. So think today of the service workers, for example, all of the restaurants that closed, anything with water that does not have money. They need support for money. So the need is very, very great. And I guess I recommend that we all think that it is our earth, our water, and these are our safeguards. So thank you for your generosity.
Find yourself in Find yourself in harmony. Let go of all your fears. Then you find the place to be is right here. Let's sing together. Find yourself in harmony.
Ancient harmony is always here, always present, underlying all. So take some time today and in the days to come to reach out, touch that harmony, and then share it with the people you meet. Go in peace.